James Lovell was the commander of the famous Apollo 13 space mission. But years before he became an astronaut, Lovell was a fighter pilot with the U.S. Navy. And one night in 1954, while on a training off the coast of Japan, Lovell headed out on this mission. And suddenly his instrument panel in the cockpit went dark. It short-circuited. All of the lights, all the dials, everything just shut down. And he couldn't use any of the plane's technology, which was scary because he was trying to get back to his aircraft carrier. He was in total darkness, didn't know where he was. And as you can imagine, it was a really scary and precarious and dangerous situation. But then something incredible happened. As Lovell looked out the window on this dark night in his darkened cockpit over these dark, stormy waters, his eyes caught this faint greenish glow that was forming a trail in the water. It was his aircraft carrier's wake. And the ship's propellers were stirring up all of this bioluminescence organisms that were creating and churning this greenish glow in the water. Lovell would never have seen that faint light had his eyes not been adjusted to the surrounding darkness. And using that trail of living light, Lovell found his ship and arrived home safely. He later said, "That light was leading me home." Well, this morning we are wrapping up our series called Reimagining the Church. And today we're going to see how the church and how our lives together as Jesus followers are to be a light in our world. We're going to look at a few verses this morning, but I want us to go to our first main text from Matthew chapter 5. It's from the Sermon on the Mount series, which is this beautiful teaching that Jesus gives about how to lean and live into the kingdom of God, which is God's dream for our world. And listen to Jesus' words. He says, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop glowing in the night for all to see." And I love how Eugene Peterson translates it in the message. He said, "You are here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world." Your life is a light to those around you. Your life can shine even in the midst of surrounding darkness. Even in those moments when it feels like it's just a little bit of light that can't make much of a difference in a big space. As your life and my life and our lives together come, it creates this synergy, this energy, this community, this city of light that cannot be hidden. It is this explosion of God colors in our world, a guiding light to welcome others home, a church that is reimagined as light. We'll come back to this verse in a little bit, but for now, I want us to go all the way back to the very beginning of our human story and the birthplace of light, because that's going to set the stage for everything else that we're going to talk about here today. In Genesis chapter 1, in the beautiful creation poem, we read that God's Spirit is hovering over the surrounding darkness and emptiness. And then come the very first spoken words in our Bible that are breathed out by the divine. "Let there be light." I say it so often, but I love that God's place for starting always seems to start from the places, the moments that we tend to write off, those places that seem dark, that seem formless, that seem empty. And yet it is Jewish scholars who have observed that we need to pay attention to the order of creation, because darkness comes first and then light. And they go on to say the same is true about every area of our lives, where we begin in darkness, but it moves towards light. And so you can think of a seed in a ground, or a baby in a womb, or an idea or a dream that we have in our minds. It can start in the dark, but it moves someplace else. Darkness comes first and then light. The brilliant writer Madeleine L'Engle said, "Maybe you have to know the darkness before you can appreciate the light." It's such a great perspective. I want you to sit with that thought for just a moment, because maybe that describes your own experience right now. I know there are people sitting here that are wrestling with heavy stuff today. You're carrying a weight on your shoulders. Maybe it feels like this darkness that's closing in on you, and it can be hard to imagine light coming into the place that you're in, let alone you being a light to other people. I know that pretty much describes the journey that I've been on over the last number of months. Many, or some of you at least, know that 2021 was without a doubt the hardest, worst year of my life, and for our family as well. We've experienced a place of darkness on so many levels where layer upon layer of loss and grief and trauma kept piling onto us, where the walls kept closing in to the point where it feels like you can't breathe, you can't take another step, where you can't see light in the midst of darkness, where it's hard to hold on to even a little bit of hope. A dark place over stormy, dark waters that are desperately needing to bring me home. If I'm completely honest, I'd say all of these different experiences and events have caused what was once a bright flame within me to, at times, simply come down to a flicker. Barely holding on at times. Barely making it at times. Feeling overwhelmed and broken by the darkness. And that's why, first and foremost, I need this message today. And I'll tell you this, I want to receive something from God this morning. And so the darkness and the weight of that darkness can feel so overwhelming, and yet it is precisely into that reality that God wants to speak life and light. Because as the opening words of John's gospel declares, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The darkness cannot overcome the light. It's why Jesus declares, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have, look at this, the light of life. And so Jesus defines light as life, which means that as we come back to the main verse and the words that you and I are light in our world, it carries this far richer, far deeper meaning to it. And what makes this verse, and quite honestly, the entire Sermon on the Mount so extraordinary, is when you realize who it is that Jesus is talking to when he says, you are the light of the world. Well, here's a hint. It's not the people that we think. So often, so many times, when we hear about people's lives shining as lights, we can easily disqualify ourselves because our lives aren't as neat and as tidy, and we know all of the flaws that we have. And so instead, we picture someone like Mother Teresa or Dr. Martin Luther King or someone else whose life seems to have shone in such an extraordinary, beautiful, bright way that, of course, they're going to make a significant difference in their world. But that's not who Jesus is talking to. The people who are gathered to hear him are ordinary people, people who are described as in pain, in brokenness, in need of healing. They're hurting, they're hungry, they're struggling in their relationships with their finances, people who don't have it all together, people whose lives are not polished and perfect, people who recognize that they desperately need God. In other words, people just like you and me. Leonard Cohen, the brilliant songwriter, wrote these profound lyrics in his song Anthem. He said it like this, ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There's a crack in everything. That's how the light gets in. And I love how pastor and author Nadia Boltz-Weber describes it. It is exactly at our points of weakness, of pain, of brokenness, of insufficiency that force us, like those who originally followed Jesus, to stand in need of God, to stand in need of his true light and life. Perhaps the cracks in our lives, those cracks that are made from bad choices, from anxiety, from depression, from addiction, from struggle, from remorse, maybe those cracks are what will let the light of God come in. And maybe those same cracks are also how the light gets out. The reality is we all have cracks in our lives. We all have those places and moments and times and situations where the light is just a flicker. Might even seem like it's absent at times. We all have struggles and challenges and things that should disqualify us from being a light to those around us. And yet it is precisely through those very cracks. It is precisely through those pieces of brokenness that God wants to touch us with his love so that we can reach out to those around us and into the lives of the other broken, cracked people in our world. Your life is a light. Your life is on display to those around you. And as followers of Jesus who are brought together into this structure and this community called the church, we are called to be light in our world together. Like a city on a hilltop that can't be hidden. So how does that happen? How does God use ordinary people to shine his love and his light into our world? Well, we've already talked about it, but it is a work of God's Spirit. Just as the Spirit spoke light into darkness, that same Spirit is still working today by breathing his life, his purpose into us. A couple chapters before the Sermon on the Mount, it says this about Jesus. He will ignite the kingdom life within you, a fire within you. The Holy Spirit within you, changing you from the inside out. And so to become light in our world means to be ignited by the Holy Spirit. That light and flame is the presence, the power, the love of God at work within our lives. And that same Spirit that breathes life into nothing, that same Spirit that speaks light into darkness, the same Spirit that creates something brand new out of emptiness is the same Spirit that will ignite us and light us up from the inside out. As I've been preparing this message, and perhaps more importantly, as I've been allowing this message to get inside of me, I've been making this verse my daily prayer. And I'd love for you to consider making it your prayer as well. Here it is. Jesus, would you come and ignite that Spirit life, that kingdom life inside of me? Would you light a new fire inside of me, the Holy Spirit inside of me? And would you change me from the inside out? And so even in the midst of my own personal pain and loss and grief and circumstances, I am choosing to hold on to that hope, knowing that God's Spirit and life and love inside of me can change everything. And so as we confess our need for him, as we invite his presence to come, there is something new that can begin inside of us, changing possibilities, creating things, changing us, igniting us, transforming us from the inside out, a life that gets lit by the Holy Spirit. And that's why a life that's being transformed by the work of God's Spirit cannot be contained. It can't be kept hidden. It is a light that burns bright despite all the cracks, despite all the ordinariness of our human experience. I know I told a Mr. Rogers story last time, but I have to give you another quote of his because it's so good. Listen to this. Deep within each of us is a spark of the divine just waiting to be used to light up a dark space. Isn't that amazing? Let me say that again. Deep within each of us is a spark of the divine just waiting to be used to light up a dark space. You are a light in our world. And as you allow that light and spark of God's Spirit and love to shine through you, you never know what type of a difference it's going to make. Your life can create a trail of living light to welcome others home, to point them to Jesus in a new and beautiful way. Shortly after Michelle and I got engaged, I met one of her church colleagues, a guy named Bill. We shook hands, and the first words that came out of Bill's mouth were, "Okay, I have to ask you something. I noticed your last name is Yackel, and that's a very unusual name. So do you by any chance know an Esther Yackel?" And I said, yeah, that was my grandma. And he said, I need to tell you a story. Your grandma was my grade 4 teacher in Saskatchewan. And she had a huge impact on my life. And then he recounted this story that as this grade 4-year-old boy, it was Christmas time, he got cast as the lead role in the school Christmas play. However, on the day of the concert, Bill got sick. And he said, I couldn't perform. He said, I was so disappointed because I couldn't participate. I knew I'd let everyone down. But your grandma, who was a Christian, had my entire class write me letters. They were full of encouragement and kind words. And he said, it changed my life. Those letters spoke life into my crushing disappointment. In the years to come, Bill eventually became a pastor. And to this day, he also still performs as an accomplished amateur actor in local community productions. He sings at sporting events. But here's the even more amazing part to the story. Bill told me that he still has every single one of those letters today. He is in his 60s now. My grandma passed away over 30 years ago. And yet the light from her life, the way that she shone Jesus' love in such an ordinary situation and circumstance, is still creating an impact today. It is light and love that is leading others home. What does this look like in my own life? As I've reflected on that question, I'm coming to realize that the times and the moments in my life where Jesus' light and love seem to have shone the brightest have come through ordinary ways, ordinary circumstances and experiences. Hasn't been some big flashy event or significant moment. It's been through a conversation here or there, a kind word spoken, a small action that was taken, maybe an unexpected response in a particular situation. I've had it happen at all sorts of workplaces over the years that over time and as I begin building relationships and have daily interactions with people, someone inevitably comes up and says, you know what, there's something different about you. You're not like everyone else here. And I could simply respond, it's honestly because of my Christian faith, Jesus living in me. And so for myself, I'm trying to lean into this new way of living, this life that is filled with light and love, living with a posture of openness, trying to listen to the voice of the Spirit and then responding in that moment, trying to live from a life and response of love. And it's certainly not about being perfect or getting it right, because I certainly have not reached that point. But as I keep going, as I keep trying it, somehow in the moment, it seems that Jesus' light and love somehow seeps out of the cracks and the brokenness into the lives of others around me. I think that's a glimpse of what it means to be light in our world. And here's where it gets even more beautiful, because it's not just about our individual lives and lights, because when our flickering lights are shining and twinkling together, it creates this breathtaking image of a sparkling city, this trail of living light that draws people towards it, that welcomes them home to a community, a place of belonging and love. That's what a reimagined church of light looks like. Again, Madeleine L'Engle said it this way, we draw people to Christ not by loudly discrediting what they believe, or by telling them how wrong they are and how right we are, but by showing them a light that is so lovely that they want with all of their hearts to know the source of it. The Apostle Paul writes these words in his letter to the Philippian church. He said, do everything readily and cheerfully. Go out into the world uncorrupted, a breath of fresh air in this polluted society. Provide people with a glimpse of good living and of the living God. Carry the light-giving message into the night. There's a story told about the famous inventor, Benjamin Franklin. He was trying to persuade the city of Philadelphia to put up streetlights in the city, which at the time meant candle-lit lanterns. And the city didn't see the need for them, and they said no, they declined his idea. So Franklin went home and bought himself a beautiful, brand new lantern. He put a candle in it, and he hung it on his front porch. And the next night, he did it again. And the next night, and the night after, and the night after. And then a neighbor started noticing this and said, hey, I kind of like how that looks. There's this nice, beautiful, warm glow that happens, and it feels welcoming. And so the neighbor said, I'm going to put out a lantern myself. And then another neighbor noticed and put out their lantern. And one light became two. Two lights became three. And eventually it became an entire lit up city. I think that's what a reimagined church of light should look like. I think that's what a reimagined church here on our UBC campus should look like. That as we let our lives shine with the light, the love of Jesus in every classroom we walk into, in every dorm, every frat house, every workplace, every restaurant, every business, every neighborhood, it's going to light up and influence UBC in ways that we could never imagine. That's why the conversations that you have, the actions you live out, the listening that you do, no matter where you go, it's going to make a difference. As the late Archbishop Desmond Tutu would often say, do your little bit of good where you are. It's those little bits of good that together and put together that overwhelm the world. Doesn't have to be something big. It certainly doesn't have to be perfect. But just allow God's Spirit to shine and move through the cracks and the darkness around you, because it's where the Spirit's work most often happens. And when we come together and allow each of our lights to do their little part together, we will form this beautiful church and community and city that will lead people to Jesus and that will welcome them home. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray in this moment that you would allow whatever place that we find ourselves in, the cracks, the darkness, the flickers, wherever we are, I pray, Holy Spirit, right now in this moment that you would come and light us up from the inside out. I pray that you would allow us to realize that even in the cracks, that's how your light and love is going to seep deep down into us. And from those same cracks, we can allow that same light to reach out to others. We pray for our beautiful UBC campus here, and for the many people who are hurting, who are broken, who are in desperate need of that light and life today. I pray for each one of us that is sitting here in this room today, that as we go into our dorms and classes and workplaces, offices, neighborhoods, restaurants, that we would be so mindful of that reality of your life and light in us. And then in the conversations we have, in the people that we come up against, the people we walk alongside, I pray that your Holy Spirit would reach out and touch people in a fresh, bright, compelling, fascinating, and beautiful way. In Jesus' name, amen.